You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Entangled in the messy world of gun politics, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention have struggled to study violent deaths. But as Guns in America's Heath Druzan reports, a program expanding to states like Idaho, which has one of the highest suicide rates in the country, is changing that.
Welcome to the first day of training. Let me reintroduce myself. My name is George Austin. I'm the clinical lead supervisor at the Suicide Hotline.
George Austin is with the Idaho Suicide Prevention Hotline. Tonight, he's in Boise, teaching a new batch of volunteers how to answer calls. Idaho has one of the highest suicide rates in the country, and the majority of those involve a firearm. Austin says, like many states, it faces a lack of resources for suicide prevention.
Suicide still has a stigma attached to it, and that makes it harder for people to openly discuss and often instinctually kind of look away.
But this year, Idaho, Texas, and eight other states are getting an infusion of federal funds to study violent deaths, and many of those are gun suicides. It's part of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's National Violent Death Reporting System, which looks at
death certificates, law enforcement reports, and coroner medical examiner reports. And these three data sources are linked to provide a complete picture of violent deaths in the United States.
That's Dr. Janet Blair, who oversees the CDC program. With these 10 states on board, the CDC is now studying the causes of violent death in all 50 states, plus D.C. and Puerto Rico.
Our case definition for a violent death consists of homicides, suicides, deaths due to legal intervention, deaths of undetermined intent, as well as unintentional firearm deaths.
A large percentage of those deaths involve guns, and that's something the CDC hasn't been able to study much at all in the past two decades. That's because of something known as the Dickey Amendment, which passed in 1996. It stipulates that no CDC funds can be used to advocate for gun control. But it doesn't spell out what that means. It's not actually a ban on studying guns as a health issue, but nonetheless, it stopped just about all federally funded firearm research. But Blair says the violent death reporting system is simply gathering information to help reduce deaths.
So what I can tell you is that although CDC doesn't receive direct funding for firearm-related research, we continue to support data collection activities and continue to document the public health burden of firearm injuries in the U.S.
Whatever the politics, states like Idaho welcome the help. Suicides have been rising across the country, particularly in the Mountain West and Alaska. And there are still far too many unknowns, according to Chris Wilson, the program manager of Idaho's violent death reporting system.
Traditionally, when you talk about suicide data, we can tell you the who, the what, the when, the where. But until the establishment of this program, we couldn't tell you the why.
The hope is that the why will be in the data, which includes details on the circumstances of deaths and what in a victim's life may have led to them.
Establishing a why will help people identify who to target prior to them taking their own life.
That data helps researchers hone in on the root causes of these violent deaths. And Wilson says the program has already made an impact in other parts of the country.
An example was Oregon found out that a lot of people dying by suicide in their state were recently evicted. They were then able to take steps in addressing that concern.
George Austin from the Idaho Suicide Hotline says ignoring the problem just isn't an option.
Since the early 90s, the rate of suicide in the United States has just jumped incredibly. So right now, you're more likely in Idaho to know somebody who's died by suicide than who's died in a traffic accident.
Researchers hope with more data, they can stem that tide. For Guns and America, I'm Heath Druzan.
And we are joined in studio now with Heath Druzan to learn a little bit more about his reporting on this. So Heath, this program actually started a while ago, but it just got to Idaho?
Yeah, that's right. So it started actually way back in 2002 with just a handful of states, and it's slowly been expanding across the country. And this year is it's the first year that next year really is the first year they're going to have a full 50 state study, plus D.C. and Puerto Rico. So yes, it's been going for a while, but it's been very limited, and now they're really going to get sort of a national picture of violent deaths.
And we do have statistics on violent deaths, correct?
That's right. So we have statistics on violent deaths, but what we don't really have is the stories behind those deaths. So that's a way to think about this. We certainly do have ways to track these deaths, how many, method, things like that. But this is a way to look at what actually was happening leading up to those deaths. And the idea is to figure out how to prevent them, to get that information, to see what steps we might take to prevent these, you know, largely preventable deaths from happening.
So how are they going to do that? I mean, what's the methodology behind that?
So they're going to be working with local law enforcement. They're going to be working with coroners. What they're going to be doing is they're going to be pulling police reports, death certificates, and either coroner or medical examiner, depending on what they call it, their reports. So it's voluntary with these law enforcement and coroner's agencies, but the folks I talked to said they've been very cooperative, happy to help. And they're gonna compile these reports. There's gonna be a lot of reading to do, obviously, and really go sort of death by death, and see if they can figure out the circumstances of the death, what led to it. I mean, they're even as far as was this person evicted? There's some work that's been done in Oregon on that, finding that people who were evicted were much more likely to commit suicide. And they've actually passed some legislation there to try to address that.
So we should be really clear. Idaho does not have much violent crime, I mean, in comparison to other states. So why is this study, though, important to our state?
Right. On the surface, I'm sure there's a lot of listeners who are like, well, you know, part of the great thing about Idaho is that there isn't a lot of violent crime. Unfortunately, one thing we do have more than most states, at least per capita, is suicide. And so in these violent deaths, suicides are counted. And Idaho, by the last count, unfortunately had the fifth highest suicide rate in the nation. So it's a real crisis here, and one that's not really talked about as much as maybe it should be. So a large part of this study is to look at those suicides and to figure out, you know, what is the underlying cause of these? Obviously, there's going to be different ones. And what are some preventative steps we can take to help people, you know, make a different decision?
This program, though, is certainly notable. I mean, and partly because the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention really has done very little research on gun violence. So why doesn't the organization normally really even touch this issue?
That's right. This is notable partly for the scarcity of this kind of research. And it all goes back to something called the Dickey Amendment, and it's named after a congressman who got this passed. The short story is basically the amendment says that the CDC cannot use federal funds to advocate for gun control. Now, it doesn't really define what advocacy means, and that's really made people nervous about any studies that look into gun violence. Now, this study is way beyond that, but a lot of it does have to do with gun homicides, gun suicides, accidental gun deaths. Now, the CDC told me that, you know, this is just research looking for data. It's not advocacy one way or another. And to be clear, nobody that I know of, and certainly no one I talked to, has said it is. But this amendment has had a chilling effect across the board, and they've tended to err on the side of just not going into gun research.
It's really fascinating, too, getting back to that idea of advocacy, as you said, because it's a study, and if it's, you know, nonpartisan, it's a study, and it gives you information, it gives you data to maybe make decisions or recommendations. And is that potentially the sticking point right there? Is you probably have some people on one side saying, well, a recommendation is advocacy.
Any recommendation having to do with firearms in America, especially a state like Idaho, is going to be potentially contentious. And yes, that is where I think you're going to have more scrutiny from people. So this is a study that it's data, but obviously the point of it is to come up with solutions, and we'll see what those solutions are. It's going to be a while before we see that, but any solutions that mention firearms and something to do with firearms is going to have certain people taking a close look at the very least.
Do we have a time frame as to how long this research will go on?
Yeah, well, it's a years-long study.
Right.
Now, it goes for, I believe it's 2 or 3 years at a time, but it gets renewed. So the idea is that it's an ongoing study. But we probably will have to wait at least a couple of years before we really have any kind of meaningful information, meaningful feedback.
Thank you so much for coming in and talking to us about this. We've been talking with Guns in America reporter Heath Drewsen. Up next, I'll look at a program to support moms who are dealing with postpartum depression. I'm Gemma Gaudet. This is Idaho Matters.